Anybody remember doing show and tell as a child? Or for the younger people here, you've maybe done show and tell recently. I loved show and tell because you got to bring something cool and unusual, you know, into school that normally you wouldn't be able to. And you can show it to other people and you can talk about it. And those are important things, the showing and the telling, because would show and tell be as cool if you just brought something in and didn't say anything about it? I mean, if I had this really archaic tool and I brought it in and I just held up this tool and I didn't say anything about it, you might look at it and be like, well, that's kind of interesting looking. I have no idea what that is. Or what if I just came in and I told you all about this tool, but I never showed it to you? Well, you'd also be like, well, okay, that sounds pretty interesting, but I'd actually like to see it in person. There's something about the showing and the telling together that is powerful, right? That's why they do it. That's why it's endured for so long, showing and telling. Now, over this past month and a half or so, we've been going through the Bless Initiative. For those that aren't aware, the Bless Initiative is an intentional evangelism initiative. It's an acronym, and more than just a one-time thing that we try to accomplish, Bless is about a way of life. It's about a way of life recognizing that God has blessed us so that we bless other people. So the acronym stands for B, begin with prayer, L, listen with care, E, eat together, the first S, serve with love, and the final one that we're going to talk about today, share your story. So we're going to see how I think the final S, share your story, actually encompasses and wraps and makes this initiative whole. So this morning we're going to look at, again, perhaps the most famous story that Jesus tells, a parable. The parable of the prodigal son. Most of us heard it. You know, if you've spent any time at all in a church, you've probably heard this. And in fact, you may not even have spent much time in the church and still heard about it. In fact, there's some show on TV right now called The Prodigal Son. It's not about this story at all, but it uses the name, right? Because it's made its way into our culture, the idea of the prodigal son. But I happen to think that better than calling it The Prodigal Son, it's really a story about two lost sons and their loving father. But I want to look at this story with you to see the power of story and how it works in drawing people to God. So, as we heard, this parable gives us the story of two sons. The first one, the younger son, not really a hero in the story, right? This younger son wants his inheritance. He wants it now. He doesn't want to wait for his father to die. And so he says, give me my money now. And the father, in the sake of the parable, gives his son the money, which would have been no small thing, right? Because most of that money would have been in land and things like that. So the son gets the money. The son takes it off to some faraway land, and he spends it all on wild living. Famine hits that land, and he has nothing. He hasn't planned for the future. He just burned it all. He burned it all in wild living. And so then he hires himself out to a man from that country. He's doing horrible back-breaking labor and making pretty much nothing. In fact, he's starving. He's so hungry he wants to eat what the pigs are eating. And then finally the light bulb comes on and he says, you know what? Even my father's servants are in better shape than I am. Maybe I can just go back. I'll just apologize. My father will take me back, not as a son, but as a servant, because even that would be better than what I'm living with right now. So the son comes back. You can imagine he's been rehearsing this. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. If you please, just let me be your servant. But before he even gets there, his father is hightailing it down the driveway, which was totally unbecoming for a man of his age to be running like that. Embraces his son, calls out to everybody that can hear, get a robe, get the sandals, get a ring, kill the fat calf. We're going to celebrate. It was as if he didn't hear what the son had even proposed, that he would just be a servant. The father was overjoyed because his lost son was now found, right? Meanwhile, older son, I know about that, I was the oldest son. Sometimes older sons look at their younger siblings and say, I've done it all right. They haven't, and they don't deserve what I deserve. Right? Any other oldest children's in the house know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. Well, this older son hears all this clamor, hears all this commotion, wants to find out what's taking place, and he finds out that his screw-up little brother has come back, crawling back, because he didn't have anything left. After he had hurt their family farm by making his father sell off a huge portion of it, taking off and doing who knows what. Not only that, this brother's come back, and the father has given him all this great stuff, is planning a party and ordered the fattened calf to be killed. This older son's thinking, I've been busting my back working for you this entire time. I never left. And you don't even give me a little goat to kill so I can have a party with my friends. This older son is angry. He's bitter. He doesn't care that his younger brother is found. Honestly, it didn't seem that he cared that his younger brother was lost. It seemed like his younger brother was dead to him. And he couldn't get on board. He couldn't understand why his father wanted to celebrate so much because this younger son was back. Because in the mind of the older brother, he deserved what he got. He made his bed and he needs to lie in it. So we have this incredible story, not just of one prodigal son, right? But we have two sons that are lost. One who was lost, who was far away, and one who was right next to his father the whole time, but never really truly understood or took on the heart of his own father for the lost brother. The older son was there the whole time, but he was more concerned with what he was doing right, and what other people were doing wrong. And so it was not just one lost son, but two lost sons in very different situations. But you know what? The father loved both of them. And the father says to this older son, my child, I love you. Everything I have is yours. You've always been with me. But we're celebrating now because the other son who was lost is found, and this is a great day of celebration. This is a powerful parable, not only because it tells us something about the heart of God, right? The heart of God hurts for people who are lost. But the heart of God also hurts for his children who are nearby but are still somehow lost, like this older son. Now, this story is powerful. In fact, I bet most of us can place ourselves somewhere in this story at some point in our life, can't we? That's the power of story, is that when we hear a story, and that's why Jesus told so many stories, so many parables. If someone just comes at us and starts preaching at us and telling us what we're like and telling us what we're doing wrong or whatever else, that's not effective. But you know what is? Telling people a story. Because stories invite us to see ourselves in the story that's being told. And so Jesus tells that story for this very reason. Because he wanted Israel, the Pharisees and all the other religious leaders being this older brother, and all the other lost children of Israel being that son that God is concerned for, wanted them to see themselves in this story. Now, today we're talking about the final S in the BLESS acronym, and it's share your story. The truth is that everybody here, if you are a believer, you have some sort of a story. You have some sort of a story in how you were lost and have become found. And everybody's is different. If you didn't grow up in the church, then your story, if you are a believer, is somehow how God got a hold of you and drew you in and brought you into the family. Put that robe on you, put those sandals on your feet, put that ring on your finger, and heaven was celebrating when you came. If you grew up in the church, maybe it was more of a subtle process. But even if you grew up in the church, somewhere along the way, there was these incremental steps where the faith of your parents became your faith. Now, there are variations on these stories throughout this room, right? And God wants to use your story. Because there are other people who are out there whose story is still being written on their way back to God. And God wants to use that because people can see themselves in stories. There are people out there who are going to be able to see themselves in your story. Just the other day, I was talking to a young man. He's not a part of the church. He wouldn't consider himself a Christian. But he was asking me about myself and how I ended up becoming a pastor. And he asked me about my story. And I got to share my story. And guess what? Turns out a lot of what I went through in the younger years of my life mirror what this young man's going through. And we had a connection there. And I don't know what God's doing, okay? That's between the Holy Spirit and him and how God's working in his heart. But I have absolutely no doubt that God is using my relationship with this young man for his purposes. And that the fact that we have some similarities in things we went through when we were younger, that God is using that intentionally. But I had to be willing to share. I had to be willing to share my story and not glamorize it, not make it sanitized, not make it better than it was, because just like the story of the son who was lost, it's those real, gritty, true, authentic stories about ourselves coming from darkness to life, to light. That is what other people are going to be able to connect with, because if you share something that is not that. Then the true story that God's given you isn't being fully communicated so God can use it. And like I said, it doesn't have to be dramatic. I sometimes think some of us, especially if we grew up in the church, we're like, my story's boring. I didn't see Jesus on the on the road to Damascus. I didn't come out of like drugs and whatever else. I just grew up in the church and every day was getting up and trying to understand more how God loved me and what God wanted for my life. Well, I'll tell you what. Even though you might think that's boring, there's somebody else who's somewhere along that pathway and they need to hear how that's worked in your life. Because they might be wondering, am I a Christian if I didn't have a moment like that? And you can say, yes, absolutely. That's been the last 60 years of my life. So, share your story. Be willing, be listening to where God might be inviting you to do it. Again, I'm not telling you to shoehorn it in there. I'm not telling you to force it on somebody. The Spirit is going to provide those opportunities. You just need to be willing and able to share the hope you have and to share your story. Now, I want to as we close, I want to tie this all together for you. I started off talking about show and tell. And I think that this Bless initiative is like show and tell. All the different pieces of it, how we are listening to people, praying for people, how we're eating with them, how we're serving them. This is the combination. This is the showing with our lives in our interactions with people. And then the story comes in and it comes together and it's powerful and it's spirit-filled and God uses it. They're both necessary. We need to show and we need to tell. They're not as powerful individually as they are together. And showing and telling has always been a part of what God intended for his people, for his disciples, for his church. So as we wrap up going over the Bless Initiative again, I want to encourage you, think about this. Write it down somewhere. Write the acronym down somewhere. Memorize it. Make it a part of just who you are and what you do. Because I think God can use this right here. In our church, in our communities, I think God can use this in powerful ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you rejoice so greatly when someone who is lost is found. God, may we have the same heart that you have. One that hurts for those that are lost. One that celebrates when the lost is found. God, may you remind us of our stories and may you, by your Spirit, empower them and enable us to share. Even as we show through our lives what you have done for your glory. Amen.